Welcome to The Right Chamber,
the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of medicine and healthcare.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it's like to be a healthcare professional today. We are inviting doctors and other healthcare professionals across different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media. So sit back, ignore the traffic, and enjoy the Right Chamber podcast. In episode 7, we welcome Dr. Minyan Wong, consultant radiologist. She's an assistant professor at St. George's University, Granada, undergraduate teaching academy teacher, and postgraduate educational supervisor. She's also clinical head of nuclear medicine and cardiac CT, as well as the current clinical service lead of imaging. Outside of work, she's a mother to two small children. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Right Chamber podcast. It's me here with Jaspreet. And today we have Dr. Wong with us. We have a lovely podcast lined up. And Dr. Wong, would you just like to tell us about who you are, what you do?
Well, I'm Minyan Wong, and I'm a consultant radiologist here at Russell's Hall.
So Dr. Wong, can you tell us a little bit about your job?
Oh, the roles of a radiologist. Well, everyone thinks of a radiologist. They think of the person that sits in the dark room and looks at the x-ray and just tells you what's on the x-ray. Slightly old-fashioned view of what a radiologist is. Nowadays, we don't sit in the dark. We have these lovely things called computers that create light for us. And obviously, we have moved on from x-rays. We do x-rays, but we do CTs, MRIs, ultrasounds, all sorts. But that is only a small part of our job. We also are responsible for triaging the patients that come through the front door and also the outpatients, because a lot of people need imaging on their pathway in healthcare, and we only have a finite amount of resources. So just like you get triaged in A&E, it's part of our job to triage who gets the imaging the quickest and how we're going to do it. It's also our job to sort of gatekeep what comes through, because when you request something, you are requesting radiation. So you're requesting a little bit of harm for your patients. And we as doctors need to look at that and make sure that that benefit outweighs the harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so we justify under IRMA that the ask for the radiation is justified because the benefit of doing that scan or whatever outweighs that risk. So that's where our vetting comes in.
So it's kind of, so we can do the scan to make sure it's safe to do the scan, but then also the interpretation of the scan.
So. Yes, exactly. And then we obviously take parts in MDTs and stuff to chat about pathways and things like that.
Okay. Wow, brilliant. And what drew you towards radiology as opposed to, plastic surgery?
Actually, I fell into radiology. It was a very happy accident. So my pathway into radiology is probably not the standard. But I'm extremely happy that I ended up in radiology, and I wouldn't do anything else. I think radiology is a great career. What I always say to people when they come to me and they think about what subspecialty to do, as I say to them, well, why did you come into medicine? Was it, what attracted you? Was it more the diagnosis part of it, or was it more the treatment part of it? If you're someone who likes to solve the puzzle, try and figure out what's going on, then radiology diagnostics is very much a pathway for you. Radiology is great because it's so varied. It's a bit like saying, I want to go to do medicine when you're in A-levels. There's so many subspecialties when you get in there. So this idea that you don't have patient contact, is not right. There are patient, you know, we have more patient contact than anyone else, you could say, because when we do an ultrasound scan, we are effectively hugging the patient. But you can have subspecialities where you don't see a patient and you are just reporting, and you can have subspecialities where you are actually patient contact 24/7. So, and there's a huge spectrum in between. So it's great because, and whatever you want out of your specialty, you know, in your job plan or whatever, you can create, because all the different specialties will allow you to be able to do that. The other thing that's really good about radiology is when you do any sorts of other specialty like medicine or surgeon, you comb down to you do one thing, you do the heart or you do the knee. And whatever excites you when you're young, after 20, 30 years of just doing knees or whatever, it can get repetitive. The great thing about radiology is that even though you subspecialize down, mostly if you're not in a super core tertiary center, you do general. So you still have this head to toe knowledge of the body, and you do general, you know, on call and things like that. So it keeps you slightly more interested. The other thing about radiology is we are a tech specialty, which is always evolving. So you always have new tech coming in to always sort of like keep you interested as well. If you ever are at that point where you hit that midlife crisis where you're feeling a little bit, oh God, not again, you go, okay, well, there's this new technique that comes out. I'm going to start looking at that, which is great. So because you're doing this generalized thing, if something happens that makes you, it means your subspecialty is obsolete. They cure breast cancer, they cure whatever. Mm. Because you're a generalist and you can always just go, okay, well, I've lost that subspecialty. All I'll do is I'll start working more on this subspecialty. You've not lost your job. So there's that job security there, which is great.
So talking about tech, how's AI helping radiology?
Or not.
Currently, AI is not at a point where it's making that much of a difference. We're hopeful, but at the moment, it's just not there. At the moment, what AI is managing to do is do very quick calculations of mundane things that help interpretations, this score or that score. It's not actually managing to help you interpret anything. I think probably the best ones I've seen so far is ones where they sort of say, they can look at something and go, we think this is normal, we think this is abnormal, have a look at the abnormal, and then the radiologist has to interpret the abnormal. So it's not at the point where it's going to replace anybody. I know a lot of the juniors come to me and they go, rumors are wrong, they're false. Yeah, they're all going, oh gosh, what's going to happen? We're going to get replaced by AI. That's not going to happen. One, as I said, we've got lots of face-to-face patient contact. So AI is not going to be able to do that free. AI is just sort of like a tool that makes things faster. So that's what I've always have found, is things that used to, like back in the day when I did cardiacs to begin with, you would have to literally trace the artery and it would take you ages to trace each and every artery dot by dot. And now you turn on, the computer takes a while, it thinks, and then it's traced the arteries for you. It's not always right. It's probably about 75% right. So you do need to check it and you need to retrace it. So as I said, it's not at the point where it can in any way replace you, but it can take some of the easy stuff away or make things faster at the moment. And I think that is where AI is and where it's going to go forward, is it's just going to make things easier for you. I would not worry about it taking your job over. Like I said, I mean, an example is a pilot. So, you know, autopilot has been there for as long as I remember. But would you ever get on a plane where I say, okay, well, we're going to get the autopilot to pilot us the whole way there because the pilot's sick today? I don't think anyone's getting on that plane. So why would you entrust your health to an autopilot?
Yeah. It's that human factor is always going to be needed.
Yeah.
And it still needs the brain behind it to make sure things are working as it should.
Yeah. I mean, look at a Tesla car. That's the pinnacle of AI at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Supposedly it drives by itself. But my Tesla car, if I take my hands off the wheel, it will start beeping at me to pay attention to what it's doing because it wants you to check it. So, you know, AI is not the place where it's going to get rid of the human factor. It'll just make things faster.
It's like a little assistant.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's exactly. Just efficiency, which is great. Welcomed.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. So how about a pet peeve of yours with the job?
Because radiology is not part of medicine in medical school, as much as you don't do rotation in or whatever, there's a lot of misunderstanding of what radiologists are. And so one pet peeve is when you get the day one junior doctor coming up to you and demanding their CT abdomen because I'm a doctor. And you're like, well, so am I. So it's the pet peeve of being talked down to a lot. It is not great when we are having really, really busy lists. So when you are actually talking to a radiologist, usually you're talking to the person who is doing the acute list. So that person is vetting, triaging, and reporting all the stuff coming off both scanners for the inpatients and A&E. And so when a junior doctor comes to talk to you and you've spent ages getting all the scans up, because I don't know if any of you have been to the radiology room, but we've all got 5 screens. So, you know, we've got all this stuff scans up just as we need it to do it. And then we get a phone call asking us about something. So we have to shut everything down to get your one up. And when you're the 5th person, whilst we've tried to report the same scan to Dunlop, and you talk down to us when we're trying to help you, that doesn't help the situation. And when you phoned us about something that should have already done, so we get phone calls like, has this been vetted? But we've sat there for half an hour listening to clinical details. For you at the end, we're like, okay, what's the problem? Has this been vetted? And you look and you go, yeah, I vetted it half an hour ago. But I've shut down what I was doing, which is an acute patient who really needs the report out now. And then sat here and listened to you for an hour for something that I've actually already sorted out. So that is a little bit of a pet peeve, is sort of like that wasted time when you're in a really like pressured situation. Because also every time you shut down that scan and then try and reopen it, your internal pressure to get that reported, it gets higher and higher and higher. And you're more likely to make a mistake than when you actually have the time to report, because you try and do it faster because the next person's off the scanner by this point. So you are under a lot of pressure at that point to try and get that one off. So you may make a mistake because you've been disturbed 3, 4, 5 times. So that is a pet peeve. It's that sort of unnecessary interruptions, I would say. We're not saying that, you know, interruptions which are necessary, definitely want it. If you're phoning me up to discuss a patient, totally want that. Totally want that, because what I actually do for your patient depends 100% on what you give me. If you give me a request for a CT abdomen, there are over 40 different protocols that involve the CT involve the abdomen and CT. So what you give me, what you say, what the clinical history you give me changes what I'm actually going to do. Okay. A CT abdomen is, but all scans in radiology are targeted. So what I would do to look for one pathology would be a different protocol to what I would do for another pathology. So it's really important that you do actually make that interaction with us and make sure that we do understand what it is your primary differential.
Mm. It's not a demand, it's a request.
Yes. And I think I think sometimes we fail to put adequate amount of information on the request scans, and that can be a little bit frustrating to the radiologist as well.
Yeah.
Like when we call and say, oh, I need this scan vetted for this, but then we haven't really put that on the request form. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is why I didn't vet the scan, because you didn't tell me that this was the issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
how do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, that is the main problem. You know, back in the day when we had a lot more staff and you had a lot less going through the scanners, we would pick up the phone and we'd call you and say, look, your request says this, but that doesn't really make sense. Or I need to know a bit more about what primary differential you want so that I can protocol this properly so we can get the right answer. We don't have that time now. So unfortunately, everyone just, you get rejected with a little comment saying, please give me a bit more details. And don't feel insulted by that. That's not a pure 100% rejection. Radiology most of the time does not reject anything. What that is a please give me more information. Please give me more things. Because I think what people don't understand is that when it's not like Star Trek, you're not like a tricorder that you just sort of like, and it goes beep, this patient's got pneumonia or whatever it is. We get a picture which looks like something, and that something could be multiple things. And depending on your history, that changes my interpretation. It's a bit like a cough. So if a patient goes to the GP with a cough, it could be viral, it could be lung cancer. The difference between what it is symptoms, onsets, associate signs that are not persistent, things like that. It's the same for us. Opacity on the scan could be multiple different things. The way you, but the clinical history as doctors changes what we're doing and what we're going to say it is. So if you give us the wrong information, misleading information, inadequate information, we will actually interpret your scan wrongly because we will be led down the wrong rabbit hole. So that's why it's really important that you give us the right information. Because otherwise, your patient's going to come out with the wrong diagnosis. We'll give them wrong protocols.
Because you'll give a diagnosis that you think, this is my impression of it. And then juniors might have like this tunnel vision and say that, well, this is what the scan thinks. So this is what we're going to think about now. Yes. And then completely forget about what the patient came in with.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important, because it's, you got to write what is actually wrong with your patient, because it makes a difference to how we interpret it. It's a bit like if you were doing notes of your history for your patient that you then present to your consultant. If you write down the wrong history, then he's going to come out with the wrong answer, isn't it? And, you know, and you got to think also, you want to make sure that you're not falsifying a legal document, because that's what a request scan is. It is a legal document. And if you falsify a legal document, then that's probity issues going forward, which can get more serious, sort of GMC sort of thing. So you do need to be careful that what you write is correct, concise, because we don't have many characters.
I think this is where we like start like doing, because there's a word limit in that textbook.
There is. You have to squeeze it all in there. So you have to be very...
Abbreviations. Yeah, then sometimes I feel like...
Don't do abbreviations. No, that's
I don't know what that is.
No, that's another pet peeve, because we do not know your abbreviations. Every subspecialty has their own abbreviations.
That is very
different
true.
Trusts have different abbreviations. I mean, when TAP first came through, it was quite funny. People were asking for CT TAP, and the radiology department was, what's CT TAP? Because we didn't call it CT TAP.
Yeah.
So don't use abbreviations if you can't. If you can't fit it in, you can always email X-ray secretary saying, about this patient, this a bit more information for the vetting. Or pick up the phone and say, you know, first off, when you pick up the phone and you pick it up, first you need to tell us who you are, what your grade is, because you know us, but we don't know you. And we need to know we need to know who we're talking to. And then what modality you want, is it inpatient, outpatient? And then exactly what you want before you get into the clinical details. Because yes, we want to go into the clinical details, but if you're going to ask me whether you vetted this thing, I don't want to wait half an hour to find out. So ask us what you want actually first, because if it's something like, well, I've already done it, I can save everyone's time. And then give us the clinical details. But yeah, just say, you know, I'm just calling to say, I want to vet so-and-so. I couldn't get all the information on the thing, so I called you up to give you a bit more. And then we can actually free text add that into the box.
Mm.
It's a sunrise thing. There's only so many characters in, but you need to give us the correct stuff that's appropriate for that.
Yeah. And a lot of it is the communication between juniors and the radiologists. Because if that breakdown in communication is there, then the juniors are left feeling, oh, we're scared to...
Yeah, everyone's scared of the radiologists. You know, like, let's not go down to the dungeons.
No. So, I mean, radiologists as a whole, usually, we're quite friendly bunch. The people that get attracted to radiology actually, you know, tend to be actually communicators. So when you have a good relationship with a radiologist, you'll probably find that actually, you know, you have no issues with that. The problem you have is, like I said, when you're in an inpatient, the person that you tend to see as the junior when you're coming to request, this person is actually in the most pressured point in radiology at that time and is under a huge amount of stress. And if you're the fifth person to come to ask them about something that they've already done, or you're the fifth person to come who actually comes to ask you for something, and when they ask you a bit more of that details, you don't know it, or it's, I don't know, my consultant just wants it, well, you're a doctor. So that's another pet peeve of mine, is my consultant asked for it.
My consultant asked for it, yeah.
I've been there, I won't lie.
So, okay. Because, you know, what I always say to juniors at that time is, well, you're a doctor too. You are in charge of that patient. It's your name that's on the request, not your, you know. So you're the one that is legally asking for that radiation. You need to know why you're asking for that radiation. And if your consultant can't convince you, then you can't convince me. And as a purely for your own point of view, from a learning training point of view, which is why, you know, you are a junior doctor or a resident or whatever it is that you're trying to learn. And if you are just blindly just going, okay, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, without actually learning the reasoning behind it, you're not actually learning. So what I always say to them is, you need to go back to your consultant and say, from my learning, could you explain to me, why is it you want this scan? And then when you come down to the radiologist and the radiologist goes, well, why do you want the scan? You've got the answer. If you come down and you go, I don't know, my consultant just wants it, you're going to get turned away, because I don't know, my consultant just wants it is not a justification for harming your patient with radiation.
That makes sense. Like, you know, ask your consultant, like, just from my knowledge, why, so that I can go and speak to the radiologist and give them a reason why we're scanning the patient.
Yeah. It's one of the things I had to learn really quickly when I first started the job in F1. Because, you know, some of the ward rounds is going so quickly. Yeah. Patient, oh yeah, CT, oh yeah, ultrasound. But it's like, hold on.
What are we looking for?
What are we looking for? Why do we want to do this? What's the indication? Okay. And then you can actually formulate a proper request and have information needed to discuss with them.
Because I think as a junior, we'll have like 5 requests, and then... And I'm sure, like, for you, if I come down to you, I have 5 requests. If my first request is, you know, appropriate, you'd be a little bit more confident with my other 4 requests.
Yes. Mm.
So I think, yes, that's a little bit of learning that the resident doctors need to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, you've come down with 5, but you're one of how many resident doctors in the department? I mean, the trust. So there's more than one of you coming to me. You know, and as I said, I'm trying to triage here at the same time as reporting, at the same time as all this sort of thing. And you come to me and actually you're not giving me it quick and fast and concise, then I'm going to be sitting here going, come on, I'm falling behind. Do you know what I mean? And that pressure, it's no excuse for anyone getting short with anyone, but we're all human. And when you're in a pressure situation and you happen to be the straw that's broken the camel's back, because you're the 20th resident that comes down with not enough information and doesn't actually know why they want the scan, then you can imagine why everyone's going to be slightly short with you.
I blame the computers as well. They're really slow.
And the computers are extreme.
Oh, yeah.
Blame the computers.
So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if there's something I think could help, it would just be, I think, education of medical students with the radiology specialty as a whole. You know, we get taught about what scans look like, but then actually the process behind it, who actually takes the scan, who reads the scan, how should you order the scans? We don't really touch up on that med school.
And I've said this for years. I think that radiology has become so integrated into medical care now. As I said, it touches most of the patients that come through the hospital. It really should be a specialty that students rotate through. And I very much encourage all students, even if you don't actually think you want to do radiology, whatever path you want to go down, to come and do a week with me or whatever it is, and see the radiology department, just for you to understand what goes on, what your patients go through. Because the other, another pet peeve, is when you get a patient come down that actually can't actually do what you need to do for the scan. So it's not, as I said, a tricorder that's doing this. Sometimes your patients have to get into certain positions. Sometimes they have to move. They have to lie for a long time or whatever. And when you've got a patient come down who can't actually do what is required for that scan, it's really soul destroying, because that poor patient is in pain and is trying really hard, and it's distressing for that patient. Because at the end, they don't actually get that scan because they can't do it. Or we've tried to do it and they've got a non-diagnostic scan, which we've given radiation. So there's harm caused to that patient. Was if you guys have a bit more knowledge about what is required from your patients before asking for it, then that situation is prevented.
Mm. Even just from this conversation, I think I've learned more about the specialty, which is great.
Because we know they're not vampires.
This has been very enlightening, to say the least. I think it will help a lot of our resident doctors as well, and even medical students.
Yeah, listening into
a little bit more of that insight into what goes on behind the scenes. Because you know, you see many parts of medicine there in your face on the wards, but a lot of work is going on behind the scenes. Any other thing you want to?
Any top tips before you go?
So it is literally just acknowledging that the radiologist is going to be stressed. So coming at them aggressively is not going to work for anyone. For anyone, if you come at anyone aggressively, they're not going to respond well. Speaking down to them is not going to work well either. Radiology is red and above, so treat them with a little bit of respect. But top tips would be, if you're coming down with something, A, if it's the CT, know your GFR, because that's going to be the first thing they ask you. B, know why you want it. We are going to ask you, how's this going to change the patient's management? Because that's my justification for the radiation, because it has to have a benefit. If you can't think of a reason how this is going to change the benefit, if it's positive, what's going to happen? If it's negative, what's going to happen? If you don't know the answer to that, I can't justify it. Okay? So it's know your info, know your patient before you come down. I haven't seen that patient. You have. I'm reliant on you giving me the information to make my decision. Okay? It's a little bit like it's a referral. If you're going to refer a patient to surgery, the prep you do for that is the same prep you would do for radiology, because I need to know the same info. That's basically it. And just trust that the radiologist knows what they're doing in a way. So don't come down and go, I want this scan. And if the radiologist goes, well, this sounds like this scan would be better, we know what's available and what's more targeted, things like that. So just be open to listening to what we say, if that makes any sense. Just
and keep it clinically friendly. Correlate after that with your patient.
Yes. So clinical correlation is because, like, as I said, whatever you've written on the request is what we use to interpret our scans. So if you've gone, okay, this patient's got all the symptoms of A, then I'm going to go, okay, well, if I find A, that's all cool. We're all happy. What happens if I find B? And, like, none of the symptoms that you've told me lead to B.
So then I'm going to have to say, well, can you clinically correlate? Has the patient actually got signs of B? Do you know what I mean? You might want to check their bloods. Have you missed the fact that they've got B? Because I'm not going to go straight off and go, okay, they've got B. Because treat the patient, not the scalp. Yeah. So that's where we're going to go, you need to clinically correlate. Because I don't know whether that is an incidental find that's just, you know, nothing, or that's something that actually you've missed, or, you know, you've actually, because you were so focused on, I want it to be A, you've not given me any of the symptoms for B. So this is where it's kind of like, it's difficult because you've got so little to write in, you can't give me the entire history, but it's this about where it, we need to know everything. And, you know, what patient, what surgery the patient's had, it would be very useful sometimes, you know, especially ultrasounds. We spend ages looking for gallbladders after patients have had their gallbladders.
I don't even have one.
Yeah. Please. So if, you know, it's, if they've had surgery, let us know. You know, whatever signs and symptoms they've got, you just, we need to know. Because it is a referral to another medic. It's not a, you're not ordering something from Amazon. I think that's the main, main tip is, remember, you are referring to another specialty. You're not ordering from Amazon.
I think that's what that's what people forget sometimes.
Yeah,
that you are talking to another doctor.
Yeah, wow, that is amazing. So yeah, when you're approaching your radiologist, understand it's a high pressured position to be in. So approach with care and empathy,
and a little bit of knowledge about
and then knowledge about your patient. Know your patient, know the clinical details, be prepared to, and then trust their guidance as well, because they are the specialists in this area, just as you would refer to any other specialist. So trust their guidance, trust their suggestions, and I think everyone's relationships will be a lot better, and it'll be for the benefit of our patients as well. Brilliant. I think that's a great summary of, everything. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
And
we'll see you for the next podcast.
We'll see you for the next podcast.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.